This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Monday night. It's good to be back. That is Matt Newmans. I am Tim Murray. The team back together after a nice getaway. And wouldn't you know it, Matt, today your hard work and so many of our other colleagues' hard work came out in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It is out now, VSiN.com. We will spend a good chunk of tonight discussing that. And also the trade deadline, a busy one, has come and gone. Winners, losers, some thoughts on that. And I'm sure, Matt, you are thrilled by the haul that the New York Yankees were able to bring in today. Hashtag Yankees update.
Yeah, the Yankees didn't do much. A bit of a disappointment. I thought they would be more aggressive here at the deadline, but they were not. And I can't say I'm shocked by that, but that's the case.
We do have a handful of games, one underway as the Washington Nationals. They were busy shipping off players as Foster Griffin headed to the Cleveland Guardians earlier today. Luis Garcia traded to your New York Yankees yesterday. But the big move today, Adley Rutschman on the move to Boston. So a blockbuster deal for the Boston Red Sox, who have been one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Curious move.
Yeah, seemed like a pretty aggressive move by the Boston Red Sox to get Adley Rutschman. The amount of prospects they gave to the Baltimore Orioles was staggering.
I thought the Orioles killed the Red Sox in that trade. And that's one of the few losses the Red Sox have actually suffered in the last 5 weeks. I don't know what they were thinking with that deal today. Luis Arraez to the Phillies for two prospects. That's the guy I thought the Yankees should have targeted. I said this over and over the past several weeks. Luis Arraez of the Giants. They need a consistent hitter near the top of that lineup. This guy's a 320 hitter. Don Mattingly today compared him to modern-day Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs. And the Yankees let him go to Philadelphia. That's one I could not understand. But it was a good move by the Phillies.
Yeah, so it was nice to see. It felt like the old days of having a busy trade deadline. So a lot of movement. Obviously, the blockbuster of all of it, and we will likely see him make his debut tomorrow, is Tarik Skubal to the Los Angeles Dodgers. So a whole lot to get to regarding the deadline. We'll talk to our good friend Cody Decker. He'll join us bottom of the hour. He is now doing a radio program with Derek Fisher in Los Angeles. So he's got plenty of thoughts on the addition of Skubal for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So he's going to join us coming up bottom of the hour. Like I mentioned, lots of college football coming your way here tonight, which I'm looking forward to as the guide is out. It is great. It is chock full of information. But Matt, we do have a big one tonight, and that happens to be the biggest game of the evening.
The lights are on and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Speaking of those Los Angeles Dodgers, they are on the road against the Chicago Cubs tonight. Wrigley Field, 8:05 Eastern, 7:05 Central, first pitch. So an hour from now, it'll be the Cubs as a slight home dog. Jacob Wroblewski will get the start for the Dodgers. And our buddy, the madman, Chris Massaro, had an interesting tweet regarding this game tonight, Matt. As he said, dating back to late May, teams traveling off Sunday night baseball, just 1-7. And that would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. So is this a spot to look to grab the home underdog Chicago Cubs at around plus 110 or so?
Yeah, I didn't bet the game, but if I did, I would play the Cubs. I know Chris has been talking about that angle for several weeks. And Dodgers playing some pretty ragged baseball over the weekend. And the Red Sox took it to them. Sweep at Dodger Stadium. I have watched the Dodgers get swept at home twice now in the past month. The D-backs did it to the Dodgers before the All-Star break, and the Red Sox did it over the weekend. And the team playing Sunday night on the road, that's an angle that makes sense to fade that team. Cubs plus 112 right here at Circa, I think, would be the play if I were to bet this game. I thought about it, but did not play it tonight.
Yeah, a handful of spots in that 110 to 112 spot. Looks like Caesars might have actually jumped to plus 116. So the Cubs and the Dodgers, the game of the night tonight, as the Cubs being very busy at the deadline. They went out and they got Kevin Gausman. They got Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor. big price that they paid to go get him, getting them as Jefferson Rojas, the number two prospect in the Cubs organization, a shortstop. According to MLB Pipeline, he was the piece that they gave up to go get Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor. But the Cubs were aggressive at the deadline. They are a team right now, right there at the top spot in the wild card in the National League at 63-49 right now.
Yeah, I think it's tough for the Cubs to give up that player. A prospect that's ranked number two like that, who looked like he was going to be, could be a big part of the future. I was a little bit surprised, but give the Cubs credit for being aggressive. You know, that's what you want your team to be before the trade deadline. And I thought the Cubs made a pretty aggressive move. Right now, they're 6.5 games back of the Brewers, who amazingly got shut out by the Angels yesterday. And they beat the Miz kid in Anaheim. But the Cubs, 6.5 back, they can make a move on Milwaukee here in the final 2 months. So it would have to probably start tonight. This would be a good spot for the Cubs to catch the Dodgers off that Sunday night game on the road and get at least a game in this series. So Cubs, like you said, 63-49, they're 14 over. The Brewers are 27 over at 69-42. But you can close a 6.5 game gap in a hurry in baseball.
Yeah, they'll have a big series Labor Day weekend in Milwaukee. So there'll be a couple more opportunities for them to gain ground. We'll talk more, like I said, about the deadline. My ginger brother, Dustin May, headed to the Milwaukee Brewers. The Cardinals making a intra-division trade to give up Dustin May as he goes to the Milwaukee Brewers.
I've got the Brewers to win that division. I bet that before the season. I thought the Brewers would be more aggressive.
I did too.
That's not the move I envisioned Milwaukee making to keep them in the top spot.
David Schoenfield over at ESPN.com said the big loser, the Milwaukee Brewers. Should Brewers fans be mad at the Dodgers, who are simply playing within the rules of the system, or should they be angry at their own team for not pushing its chips to the table? Look, the Brewers, you know, it's always a tricky thing going all in, but I mean, they got the prospects to do it. They did, and they played a little bit close to the vest, so we'll see how it all plays out here. But I would have loved to see the Brewers be very aggressive. They make a couple of moves, but nothing that really moved the needle. But I will say the trades they made this offseason all seem to work out very well for them, so we'll see. But the Brewers also in action here coming up in just a little bit. They take on the Pittsburgh Pirates, a 4:40 Pacific, 7:40 first pitch, Matt. The Brewers around $1.45 favorite against the Pittsburgh Pirates, as you mentioned yesterday, getting shut out by the Angels 3-0 with Jacob Mizorowski going 7 innings, striking out 10, but not enough against the Angels, who are shipping off pieces left and right as we speak.
Yeah, I watched some of that game yesterday, just shaking my head. I mean, you think Mizorowski's been a dominating pitcher this year. The Angels have been a joke, and the Angels beat the Brewers 3-0. It's baseball, Susan, right?
Speaking of that, it's
tough to bet baseball.
Speaking of that phrase, yeah. Matt, your New York Yankees, hashtag Yankees update. They are in action, about to get underway, and your guy, Cam Schlittler, on the hill. How are we feeling?
Well, Cam Schlittler's been great on the road, and he's not going to be on the road tonight. And that's one thing to watch. He's a huge favorite in this game. I just hope he doesn't go out and lay an egg, which is possible because he has not been very good at home. He's minus 235 tonight against the Cardinals, who have been we were talking about, can the Cardinals sustain it or will they run out of steam? Well, the Cardinals are definitely running out of steam. There's no doubt about it. And this is a game tonight where Schlittler's got to capitalize and be dominant. His last two starts have been outstanding, but they've both been on the road. At Yankee Stadium the last time out, he was not very good. Let's see if you know, he could shut down this Cardinals lineup and get a win for the Yankees tonight. But that price, you know, Yankees offense has been too anemic to play the run line. And you don't want to lay minus 235 ever. But I can't lay the run and a half here because the Yankees just not scoring. Well, they were getting about 2 runs a game over the weekend against the Cubs at Wrigley.
So Cam Schlittler enters today minus $1.50 to win the American League Cy Young. Matt, a ticket that you have in pocket, and we will be holding on and hoping for a big one for the New York Yankees here tonight. We got a big show in store for you guys. As mentioned, we'll talk more about the deadline, what the Dodgers did acquiring Tarik Skubal. We got some sound from Skubal as well. And we will get to that with Cody Decker coming up bottom of the hour. We'll check it from behind the counter. What moves do we see in the market from Johnny Avello at DraftKings? He will join us at 8 Eastern. Jared Smith will join us in that 8 o'clock Eastern hour. And a gentleman you know well, Paul Stone. He's going to jump on and give us his best bets that he wrote up in the College Football Betting Guide, which is out now. Also, his top 15 quarterbacks in college football. Very good read there. I was flying back from the East Coast today and was reading all through the College Football Guide. It is 350-plus pages of greatness.
I finished my writing and filed everything for the College Football Guide on July 20th. And I came back yesterday and said, this thing's still not out? Yes, it takes a while.
And then you got it. You're like, wow. Well, there's a lot of
out today, but
there's a whole lot of.
It's a monster publication. Was how many pages?
360 something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. It's the most time-consuming thing we do here at the network in terms of all the publications we put out by far. The College Football Guide, the NFL Guide is great too, but it doesn't not nearly. The work goes into that goes into this. Because college football with 138 teams.
Yep. Right? Two new teams this year, Sacramento State, North Dakota State. Every team previewed.
And the teams are completely new. With all the turnover in college football, you have to put so much more work into that aspect of handicapping colleges these days. Tim, let's take a break.
Well, it's good to be back. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Speaking of that VSiN College Football Betting Guide, let's dive into it a little bit. And, of course, update you on what is unfolding across Major League Baseball tonight.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. 15 minutes from now, Cody Decker, radio host in L.A., former superstar for the San Diego Padres. Matt, he will join us. Always love getting Cody's perspective on Major League Baseball, so we'll get his thoughts on the Skubal trade. And certainly as the night goes on, we will get you more thoughts as well. Major League Baseball underway here tonight as the Washington Nationals, wouldn't you know it, Matt, a team who is thrown in the towel for the season. The Washington Nationals, who traded away Luis Garcia, who's making his debut with the Nationals starting at first base this evening, traded away Foster Griffin, one of their, actually, an all-star pitcher this year. Great story, signing him from Korea, where he pitched this past year. Traded him to the Cleveland Guardians. Wouldn't you know it, Matt? The Washington Nationals are up 3-0 on the Philadelphia Phillies in Philly right now, and they are minus 293 favorites. Just kind of the way things work.
That's baseball, Susan. Susan. You know what? I was talking about Cam Schwitler and his splits. And Schwitler's road numbers are outstanding. Tim, it's hard to believe the Cy Young favorite at home this season is 2-4 with a 3.83 ERA. That's Cam Schwitler. That's why he's got to try to overcome that. And I believe he just served up a two-run homer.
Yep.
And the Cardinals on the board first. Schwitler has not been good at Yankee Stadium, and it continues tonight. He's got one out, and he's down 2-0 in the top of the first.
Yeah, 2-0, two-run homer there for
Alec Burleson.
Alec Burleson, his 16th home run of the season, and it is now 2-0 Cardinals in the top of the first inning. And with that, the St. Louis Cardinals are even money. Yankees still the betting favorite tonight, Matt, at minus $1.30 after giving up that two-run shot to right field at Yankee Stadium.
Maybe you should have bet the Cardinals.
Maybe. They were sellers, too. They traded away a couple pieces to the Milwaukee Brewers, and lo and behold, they're now up on the New York Yankees 2-0.
I do think, and I've been watching this recently, I feel like Schwitler might be a fade at Yankee Stadium. And the last time out, he was bad, and off to a bad start tonight.
Dylan Cease, your second shot to win the Cy Young at plus 120 in the American League, and the sweat is going to be on for Matt.
It is.
With your big ticket on Cam Schlittler from the offseason. All right, minus 150, still Schlittler as the favorite. Well, Matt, let's take your mind off of Cam Schlittler giving up a home run. Let's talk about something that's going to make you happy. College football. It'll be here before you know it. We are less than 4 weeks away from week zero, and our college football guide is out right now, Matt. You can get it over at vsin.com. 345 pages. You've got best bets. You've got a top 50 breakdown that you, it was you, Chris the Bear Felica, and Paul Stone.
That's basically me and Paul.
Okay.
Basically the Bear did not turn in his ratings.
Oh, come on, the Bear. But we will hear from Paul Stone a little bit later. So we've got best bets galore from VSiN hosts, VSiN contributors. But, Matt, I want to get to your top 10 here. We've got a graphic for your top 10. And coming in at number one, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Why, at the end of your research leading into this guy, did you have Notre Dame at number one?
Well, let's put it this way. When last season ended, I had Notre Dame power rated number three, right? Ohio State, Indiana, Notre Dame at the end of last season. And this Notre Dame defense should be, if not the best defense in college football, it's going to be top three. And I really like C.J. Carr back as a second-year starter. Basically, the reason Notre Dame did not make the playoffs last season is they lost that season-opening game on the road in C.J. Carr's first start of his career. And you were there. It was rain in Miami. It was tough conditions. They lost the game by a field goal, and that's why they ended up not making the playoffs. But at the end of last season, you could have made a case that Notre Dame would only have been an underdog on a neutral field against one team, and that would be Ohio State. Notre Dame, Indiana on a neutral at the end of last season, what would that have been? A pick'em?
Yeah, it depends on who you're asking, but yeah, anywhere from minus one both ways, maybe to a pick'em, somewhere in that ballpark.
I've got Notre Dame power rated number one. Paul had Notre Dame number three. And the difference why the Irish came out number one on our ratings is that I have Ohio State four. Mm. I've got the Buckeyes a little bit lower than most. I feel like a lot of times Ohio State just gets the benefit of the doubt, right? It's, I don't know who should be number one. Let's just give it to Ohio State. The Buckeyes lost a lot off that defense. And I've got Notre Dame's defense rated considerably better than the Buckeyes. And with C.J. Carr back, and the only two big pieces that you really miss off last year's team are the two running backs who were taken in the first round of the draft. But as much as you like Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, running backs are replaceable. And Notre Dame's going to have plenty of firepower offensively. So that's my number one team. Oregon 2, Ohio State 3, Georgia 4, Texas 5, Indiana 6, Miami is 7. Rounding out the top 10, LSU, Ole Miss, and Oklahoma. And we'll get Paul Stone's take later in the show tonight on why he's got Ohio State 1. But Paul did say, and I quoted him in the column, if you wanted to make an argument that Notre Dame should be number one, he's not gonna fight you on that.
How many teams do you think realistically should be in the discussion for number one preseason?
How many?
Yeah. Notre Dame.
I would say four.
Ohio State. Would you put Texas in there? No. Where do you have Texas?
I think I had Texas 5. So I would say Notre Dame, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia. Those are your four candidates for number one.
You know, before I left for vacation, we talked about it on the show. I bet Georgia to win the SEC at plus 320. And you look at their schedule, they don't play Texas. They don't play Texas A&M. They don't play LSU. And I think, as crazy as it sounds, Matt, to me, I think Georgia's being slept on just a little bit. Not a ton. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, a wild, you know, Kirby Smart somewhere out there is trying to pretend that no one's talking about them.
Right.
But it does feel like, because of Lane Kiffin going to LSU, Chambliss coming back at Ole Miss, you know, Mateer being healthy and that defense being really good at Oklahoma, and, of course, the buzz for Texas, it doesn't feel like Georgia, in my opinion, maybe I'm crazy, is getting a ton of hype heading into this year as a national championship level team. Once again, they're going to be preseason top five. So I'm not trying to, you know, say that nobody's talking about them. But I do feel like amongst the teams that are getting the most notoriety in the SEC, I feel like Georgia is just a little bit being slept on. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was a long-winded way of saying nobody's really talking about Georgia.
Well, I didn't want someone out there like, oh, what are you talking about? Every publication has Georgia number five or number four. Yes, they're really good, but I think they are in the discussion, as you mentioned, as the best team in the country heading into the year.
Yeah, but not many people are talking about Georgia. Right. You're right about that. You're hearing a lot about Ohio State, a lot about Oregon, a lot about Notre Dame, not much about
Texas.
Georgia. Matt Grilla, DraftKings, told me nobody is betting Gunnar Stockton in the Heisman race. He did. You know, Gunnar Stockton was a clutch player last year. He made some big-time throws, and Georgia picked up a couple of big-time wins because of his play in the fourth quarter and overtime in some games last year. Georgia, I think, is in the discussion for number one, but I seriously doubt many handicappers are going to power rate Georgia number one. It is a solid top five team,
though. Yeah. I don't think they should be number one. Talking to Matt Grill when he joined, you know, us on primetime, he joins us every Tuesday. He joined me on the podcast. He was quoted and you talked to him for the guide. He has Ohio State one and then Notre Dame and Indiana. I was surprised that Matt at DraftKings was so high on Indiana. His personal power ratings have Indiana tied for second in the nation.
I know.
Where do you have Indiana?
I think I had Indiana 5, something like that.
Okay.
I don't like the quarterback. And I had this discussion with another college football handicapper a couple days ago. By the way, Rex Byers, who moved back to the state of Indiana.
He's back there.
He's back in Indiana.
He was
talking to a buddy of his who's been around the Indiana football program. And Rex and I were in agreement on one thing, is that I don't love the quarterback, Hoover. The transfer from TCU, right?
He throws the ball into danger a lot.
But Kurt Cignetti sees something in Hoover, and I'm not going to doubt Cignetti. And you're a fool if you do doubt Cignetti at this point. But I've got Indiana rated number five. Basically, the quarterback position, I think, is still a big question mark here. And Cam Schlettler gets out of trouble. Man, that was a rough first inning. I think he had to throw 30 pitches to get out of the first inning against the Cardinals. 2-0 St. Louis. Rough start for Cam Schlettler tonight.
Two-run homer for the Cardinals. -$1.18 favorites right now at DraftKings are the St. Louis Cardinals. Yankees coming up to bat, -110. And the Washington Nationals currently a 3-0 lead over the Philadelphia Phillies as that game is in the third inning. Nats, a -293 favorite. All throughout the show, we're going to be talking about the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. We'll go over our best bets that we wrote up in that guide, some of our favorite analysis as well of every single college football team that is available. And you can get it right now for as little as $9.99. So head on over to vsin.com/subscribe. That college football betting guide is out right now. Let's turn our attention back to the trade deadline, which has come and gone. The Los Angeles Dodgers quite busy over the weekend. Cody Decker hosts a radio program out in the City of Angels.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Trade deadline day is come and gone. Right now, the New York Yankees and the St. Louis Cardinals in action. Cardinals early 2-0 lead against Cam Schlettler and the Yankees, thanks to a two-run shot. And the Nationals lead 3-0 over the Philadelphia Phillies. I thought the Cardinals and the Nationals were the sellers at the deadline. That's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Let's head to our guest. Let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in friend of the show, radio host in the mornings on 97.1 The Fan in Los Angeles with Derek Fisher. It's our good friend Cody Decker. Cody, you've been a little opinionated by the Tarik Skubal trade, but remove whether or not it was a injustice to baseball, I don't care about that. All I care about is how good or how much better does this make the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, by the way, get underway in about 30 minutes at Wrigley Field here tonight.
Better? It makes them better.
A little bit.
A little bit better. There's like 10 Cy Youngs on that pitching staff right now all of a sudden. Listen, you got Skubal. And by the way, don't forget about the Bubich move at the end there from the Kansas City Royals, another all-star that they brought over last second. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how the Dodgers have roster space to do any of this, truly. They must have like 38 spots that no one told me about because they have so many things they have to decide. They currently have Roky Sasaki, who's been pitching at an amazing clip in that starting rotation. And keep in mind, we're getting Blake Snell back. Oh, you also have Emmett Sheehan, who's done a very good job himself, but also we're getting Tyler Glasnow back. Oh, Eric Lauer, he's got like a 2 ERA since he's been on this team, and they've won 9 games every game he has started for the Dodgers. Oh, we traded for Tarek Skubal. Like, this is ridiculous. Oh, also Robleski, who's on Major League minimum. He's an all-star. Oh, you also have Yamamoto. And maybe we see Ohtani again this year. I don't think it matters. Why even bother?
I know. When you look at this rotation, you just reeled off all those names. It is stacked. What about the bullpen? Do you think Sasaki would be better in the bullpen because he was good in that role last year, and I thought maybe that'd be a better fit for him on this Dodgers pitching staff?
I think that's absolutely the plan. I'm only basing that based on reality of last season. Basically, we saw him have a 5.9 ERA throughout the season in his rookie campaign, but he goes into the playoffs with a 0.89 ERA. Like, and he closed out 3 games in the World Series. Like, that is no joke. It's clear that Dave Roberts has belief in him, both now as a starter and as a reliever. So, yes, I think we're going to see Roky Sasaki out of the pen. Now that you see Edwin Diaz healthy again, I think this team's going to be perfectly fine. I'm sure it's going to be a domino effect. We'll see Edwin Diaz. Emmett Sheehan go probably into the pen first until he might ultimately be sent down. Then you'll see Roky Sasaki head to the pen, and then we'll wait to see what happens with Eric Lauer.
Cody, I read a column last week, and it made a lot of sense. Said many other owners around baseball were hoping that Skubal would go to the Dodgers because this would be Exhibit A that they would point to and why baseball needs a salary cap. Do you believe in that theory?
It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating that people are coming along to this theory that I've been saying for a year and a half.
Right.
Where have you all been? This is, you know what's frustrating to me about it? It's that I've told everyone that's going to happen. It's happening in real time, and no one seems to do anything about it. I thought the Kyle Tucker thing was sounding off the alarms. The Dodgers overpaid that deal by $10 million, what the Mets were offering. Mm-hmm. That alone was crazy to me, especially seeing what Cody Bellinger went to with the Yankees. Now you see this deal. This deal hits every red flag known to man to me. One, it got all of the outrage from the internet. You heard everyone and their cousin demand a salary cap. Politicians are weighing in on it all of a sudden because it's just not fair for the Dodgers to trade none of their top 4 prospects to get a hand on Tarek Skubal. That was not even that crazy of an offer. I was blown away how easily they got him. Right. Zaire Hope's going to be a star, but this was not some sort of rocket deal package that you had to say yes on Saturday evening with 2 days left in the deal before the deadline. I find it all mind-boggling. The only logical conclusion I can come up with is every owner absolutely wanted this to happen for all of the CBA talking points that you just listed.
Yeah, we're going to play the clip from Skubal, who was talking to the media earlier today, and he said, quote, "Every team could trade for me. I don't sympathize with people that blame the Dodgers for anything they've done. It's a winning organization. I really don't sympathize with people that are complaining because the Dodgers do all the right things." It is pretty wild, though, Cody, to your point, and I know for a betting network, it doesn't really matter, you know, to get in the X's and O's, but it didn't feel like the Dodgers gave up an arm and a leg. Hell, you look at what the Cubs gave up to get Clay Holmes today. They gave up the number 2 prospect in their organization to get him, and the Dodgers didn't feel like they had to, you know, break their backs to get Skubal.
No one pushed him on this. The only guy with service time was River Ryan. He's been kind of out for a year and a half due to his Tommy John surgery. Now he's luckily coming back right now, so he's going to be a good piece. He's 27 years old. The other pitcher, he's about younger. I think he's 21 years old. Zaire Hope is going to be a stud. That being said, no, the Dodgers still have 7 players in their farm system that are in MLB's top 100. This didn't even make a dent to their farm system. Like, this is... I'm blown away by this, and I'm blown away that no other team kind of pressed them on this. I'm surprised that the Milwaukee Brewers didn't have a better package, or at least a comparable one, to press the Dodgers to throw in more. I mean, like, has anyone ever played poker? What is happening?
I agree with you. I was really surprised another team did not step up with a better offer and force the Dodgers to put more in the pot to get Skubal. How about across town in Anaheim? Mike Trout is still with the Angels. Why do you think that is? And is Mike Trout ever going to win a playoff game in his career?
He is not going to win a playoff game in his career because he's only going to wear an A on his forehead for his career. I firmly believe this. I don't think it's the Angels' issue why Mike Trout hasn't been traded at this point. I think Mike Trout is exactly where he wants to be. And if Mike Trout wanted to be traded, I firmly believe Mike Trout would be traded. Sure. I don't believe he wants to be traded. I think that's just what he's resigned himself to at this point. I think we are all, as baseball fans, very sadly robbed of it. But because he is unquestionably, in my opinion, one of the greatest baseball players who ever lived. And I appreciate him wanting to be in one city and one team. His family's there. I understand not wanting to uproot anything, but man, what I would give to see him wear a Philly hat. I really think he's like a born to be Philly. And I wish he was traded during this little run here, because I think the Phillies are running out of time. They made some good moves today as well. You know, they also didn't trade Reed Detmers, which I thought was a bit of a miss, but Joe Adell got moved and Soriano got moved. So good on the Angels for at least getting back some prospects. But at the end of the day, that organization will never be able to really move unless you have one piece that you can move for massive deep prospects. And that guy's been Mike Trout for a long time. I'm worried that at this point, I'm not even sure you can get the same type of haul or even close to the haul you once could have gotten for him.
Check out his morning show on 97.1 The Fan in Los Angeles with Derek Fisher, D. Fish, and Decker. It's yes. Cody Decker who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You know, Matt and I mentioned it, and the Milwaukee Brewers, they seem to make water out of wine a lot. And it would have been nice to see them go all in, to go for a guy like Skubal, but they went kind of their way, right? They kept their great farm system intact. They made a couple of small moves. Are you disappointed in what you saw from the Milwaukee Brewers today?
Man, you know, I'm glad they've stood pat. I'm against all you guys. I'm glad the Brewers didn't do anything too crazy. They got Dustin May, thought that was a very nice pickup. He might be a problem when it comes to October, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'm thrilled the Brewers are sticking to their recipe that is proven year in, year out to win championships. This is a championship team year in, year out. And they've never, ever changed a single thing. And why would they?
They haven't won a championship.
What was that?
They haven't won a championship, Cody.
You mean like this current run? They have a history of championships. Why would they change anything?
They don't. They've never won a World Series.
They've never won.
Never.
Oh yeah, this was bad then. Then I'd say this was bad. I would say continuing the same thing is bad. I take back everything I said. I'm sorry. I'm being a little misinformed. Based on what you were saying, yeah. Why change a thing? It works. Oh, look at all the rings.
Hey, Cody, this time a year ago, I recall we were talking to you on this show, and you were high on the Padres making a big push in the final 2 months last season. Is there a team like that now that you have your eyes on? You say this might be a team to bet on in the August and September headed to the playoffs.
I'm not going to lie to you. A.J. Preller kind of struck again there at the end. He made a couple of nice moves. Casey Mize and Robbie Ray, just out of nowhere, everyone's getting ready to see, man, who's he going to trade Miller to? What's going to happen? Oh, my goodness. No, he doubles down and triples down. I love that A.J. Preller still has this, like, weird, mad genius aspect to him. The Red Sox, man, are scary. They made some really good moves today. And also sneakily, you know, Doyle and Castillo, watch out for the Southside White Sox, man. No one's talking about the moves that they've been making, and they're already in first place in that division. You've seen already another team punt in that division. The Royals have punted in that division. Now they just got to deal with two more, and that's the Twins, who I have no faith in, and the Guardians, who, listen, they might make the playoffs, but they'll lose in the first round based on every time I've seen it happen.
He's Cody Decker, 97.1 The Fan. He's also got a podcast, The Regulars, which I believe is going to be recorded momentarily. So check him out
live,
at Decker6.
Live, baby, 20 minutes from now, live.
Cody, always appreciate it, man. There he is. Cody Decker giving us his insight on the MLB trade deadline. Those Brewers that have won so many championships that he reminded us of, they are about to get underway. Brandon Sproat about to start for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll update you on what's going on at Yankee Stadium and Citizens Bank Park. Also, another thought on our game of the night at Wrigley Field, the Dodgers taking on the Cubs.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Our primetime game of the night starts in 20 minutes. Wrigley Field, the Chicago Cubs, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right now, if you look at the futures board, the Dodgers at DraftKings, plus 150 to win the World Series.
And I'm not going to argue with that price. I think plus 150 is about what they should be. When you look at that rotation, wow. You get to the playoffs, you got Skubal, Otani, Yamamoto. Don't forget about Blake Snell. How about Tyler Glass now? Just go on and on, and you can move Sasaki to the bullpen.
Robleski to the bullpen?
Yeah, Robleski has been pitching pretty well. So in terms of pitching, Dodgers are loaded. And by the way, their lineup's loaded too. One of the worst players on their team is Kyle Tucker, who's a $60 million a year player. So I think the problem is when you – if you say you want to fade the Dodgers, say, well, they're not going to get it done. And I've said that before. I didn't think they were going to three-peat. Who's going to beat them?
That's a great question right now. Do you have the Yankees. Do you believe in them?
No. I mean, the Yankees could get there. We could see a Dodgers-Yankees World Series rematch from a couple years ago. The Red Sox emerging as a team that could be a threat.
Aggressive at the deadline. Go out, get Adley Rutschman as the...
Well, let's talk about the National League. Who in the NL could stop the Dodgers from even getting to the World Series? Is it going to be the Phillies, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Braves? Who do you think is the most likely candidate?
I think from a firepower standpoint, the Phillies would interest me a little bit when you look at their lineup, but you got Christopher Sanchez atop that rotation. I mean, as much as I want to say the Brewers, Matt, we saw what happened last year, right? I mean, I bought into it. I was excited, thought, you know, the cheap Brewers with the young talent that they have, they could do it. No, they got splattered by the Dodgers. So, I mean, I would love to make the case for the Phillies. I'd love to see it happen. But it's – I think for me it would be the Phillies or the Braves, I guess, would be of the two. But at this point, Matt
– And again, baseball.
It's baseball, so anything could happen. I mean, we just saw the Red Sox go to Los Angeles.
You get hot at the right time too, right? A team that's not hot right now could be hot when you get to October. That's what makes that tough to project. I think the Phillies, like you said, have the firepower. That's a key word. The Phillies have the firepower. They could probably go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers.
Made a big move today, getting Luis Arraez from the Giants. Yep. So you're adding to that lineup that can be as potent as any lineup out there.
That's the team I wanted to see go get Skubal, was the Phillies, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, he went to the Dodgers.
Update from across Major League Baseball. Speaking of the Phillies, right now they are trailing against the Washington Nationals. Right now that score sits at 3-0 Nats, bottom of the fourth inning. Actually just wrapped up the fourth inning, so headed to the fifth inning in Philadelphia. Nats up 3-0, but the Nats are one to let leads go away. So we will see if they can hold on to their lead, but a couple of homers so far this evening for the Washington Nationals lead 3-0 over the Phillies. If you want to jump in on the Phillies and think the Nats will blow another lead, which they have done frequently this year, plus 289 is the price right now at DraftKings. The Cardinals now up 3-0. Matt, you were on to something about Cam Schlitter and his struggles at Yankee Stadium as he strikes out Jordan Walker.
That was a big strikeout there. Two runners on. Jordan Walker has got 81 RBIs this season, and Cam Schlitter gets him on a high fastball. But, yeah, Schlitter has really struggled at home. This is our first night back in here doing a show together in 2 weeks, and I am not enjoying the first hour watching Cam Schlitter struggle. Man, this has been painful to watch.
Yeah.
Every out has been tough for him to get.
He moved from minus 150 pregame to minus 130 right now to win your AL Cy Young. 3-0 to score top of the second inning, and yeah, every out has been a challenge, and right now Burleson, who's already gone yard once, steps to the plate here with two outs in the top of the second inning, and we'll see if Cam Schlitter can get out of this jam in the top of the second. Is this been anything from an efficient night here, Matt, for Cam Schlitter? His pitch count
is 58.
Is at 58 right now, and Alec Burleson already went yard, as I mentioned, in the first inning, and he's back at the plate with men on first and second here, and we'll see if Schlitter can get out of this jam. He's already walked four, Matt. He is not on his game, to say the least.
He doesn't have. I don't like his body language again. He looks like a totally different pitcher on the road than he does at Yankee Stadium. And like I said, it's very bizarre that the favorite to win the Cy Young is 2-4 at home this season. And Yankees in a big hole tonight, down 3-0. This has flipped. Yankees closed about minus 235.
Ooh.
Wow, was that?
They call a ball there?
I think high and inside fastball.
Been
just off the plate. Thought maybe you would challenge that, but no. Yankees closed minus 235 right now. The Cardinals minus 242, live number at DraftKings.
Underway in Milwaukee, Brewers and Pirates. Matt, one of my adventures during the week and a half away from VSiN, stopped by AmFam Field and took in a Brewers game. Brewers beat the Mets on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Nothing like a little day baseball. Walking around that ballpark, it was a nice day. They had the roof open, and the Brewers took care of business there. But scoreless right now, bottom of the first inning between the Brewers and the Pirates. Burleson does strike out eventually, so Schlittler, four strikeouts, but four walks, and he has not 61 pitches through two innings.
That's a really high number, and you got to think he's probably going to go four or five tops tonight. The way he's going, he needs a really efficient third inning to even last five innings tonight for the Yankees. So, poor start.
One more note on our game of the night here in just a moment. But just a reminder, folks, $30 million guaranteed prizes cash in this football season here in Vegas with three Circa sports contests. Entries start at just $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the pool prize pool. Circa Millions, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And, of course, Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed, circasports.com. For details.
I had one of my contest partners from Texas in town last night. We were here at the Circus Sportsbook, and we fired our first entries at the Circus Survivor. We're going to fire big time at the Survivor contest this year. But I'm only going to have one entry in the million, one in the Westgate Super Contest, one in the Westgate College Contest. Everything else is going into Survivor this year.
Ooh, 20? Haven't decided yet.
Not sure, but... Yeah. It's going to be a good number.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the type of money that's up for grabs in these contests, you have to go for it. You just have to. You know, in the last year,
5,000
deep run in Survivor.
Yeah. 5,423 so far, and we'll get the update, but still over a month left in signups, Matt. That number will absolutely surpass 20,000. How many right now, August 3rd, just a guess. Not going to hold your feet to the fire, but a guess. How many do you think we end at for Survivor?
Put my feet to the fire.
Yeah, fire them, light them on fire here.
I'm going to go 22,250. What do you say?
I just put 23.
You said
23,000?
Okay.
So that would be $23 million all back into the pot. Whoo, buddy. Yeah, it was funny. I was sitting out here right before the show started, and someone looked and said, "Hey, what are all these guys out here? What are they doing?" I was like, "Oh, those are proxies. If you don't live in town, you want to sign up for one of those contests." So once again, if you do come to town over the next month, they're sitting here. I mean, I do recommend making an appointment with one of them. But if you don't, they're here. They're still here right now. So plenty of proxies out there. Johnny Avello going to join us coming up. Top of the hour. Wanted to mention this nugget from our buddy, the madman, Chris Massaro. Is he a happy man with the Adley Rutschman trade, or did they give up too much? Or is he just always angry? I don't know. But this was a good nugget from our buddy, as we like to poke fun. Dating back to May 24th, teams traveling off Sunday Night Baseball, 1-7. Act accordingly, is what the madman said. Cubs, plus 110 with the old thinking emoji. On Twitter. Right now, you can get
plus 117 at Caesars.
Yeah, right? And plus 116 at FanDuel as well. So a couple of national shops are taking in some Dodgers money. Jacob Wroblewski gets the start for the Dodgers. Matthew Boyd for the Cubs. By the way, Pete Crow Armstrong now only plus 110 to win MVP in the National League. Shohei Ohtani's number continues to shrink. PCA has been on fire this season.
Who traded him?
New York Metropolitan. Yes. Meet the Mets. Greet the Mets. Even though they did make a good trade today, it seems, with the Chicago Cubs. Johnny Avello joins us next.